Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? You're now tuned into the Power Hour right here on MNT. Yo, what's going on, everybody? You're now tuned into the Power Hour right here on MNTC Radio via iHeartRadio, GeoSob. You know what it is, man. The station designed to keep you in mind. I'm your host, Mr. Music. But as y'all know, man, it's not about me. It's about these dope indie artists out here in the world, man. Let's give it up for Vernon J of Ascend Productions, man. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing well, bro. How are you?
Man, I can't complain, man. Now, Vernon, me and you connected on Twitter. I see you doing your thing. You do a lot of production. Before I even talk about your production, I want to know at what age did you get into production and how did you get into it?
Bro, I started, actually, man, my idea of production, man, I was actually breaking down music at the age of probably 4 or 5 years old. I grew up in a family that grew up in music. And, you know, I was exposed to a lot of music, all the greats from the past. And I fell in love with music at an early age. My real introduction to production was in high school. I got involved with the arts team and plays and things of that nature. And then it just kind of took off from there. I just was in love with music and wanted to do music ever since.
That's definitely dope, man. So now coming up, there's so many great producers out there. Who kind of influenced your style or you think you kind of took note to while you was coming up?
Right. I'm going to tell my age a little bit, and I don't mind, but my first impression of a dope producer was Isaac Hayes.
Tell your age a little bit, but there's nothing wrong with that. Kind of gives us perspective, you know what I mean? A lot of us wouldn't even think of that name, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a lot of the youngsters don't even know who that is, but bro, let me tell you something. That was one of the dopest producers in the 60s going into the 70s. And when I heard the theme from Shaft as a young boy, man, I always wondered how in the world could one man make music like that, man. That got me. And then from then on, man, it came up through the ages with Maurice White, you know, in that area of Earth, Wind, and Fire. It came up with Barry White, you know, just growing up in that area, man. I'm going to tell you, I'm in my 50s, so I go way back with the music. But currently, man, you know, I got to say Dre, because Dre and I are basically probably the same age. So watching him grow up in hip-hop and me being growing up in that era, man, that's probably the biggest recent impression. But there's a lot of others, man. There's too many to name.
Now, I do want to take it back before Dre real quick, because you came from that soul era. But then, you know, during the 80s, which was one of my favorite eras of music, I was just born in that era, but still, I still love it. A lot
Absolutely.
Of good pop production was coming out. Did that have any effect on you, or what was that like for you with that era?
That's a great impression, man. Great question. If you hear my music, you'll hear the pop in it.
That's why I asked. Yup.
Yeah, pop was a big, and the reason for it, man, you know, I lived in an area where we didn't have a lot of soul radio stations. So I was kind of, I had to, you know, adjust, but it worked for me now because I can always incorporate it without trying. It's just in me to hear that pop, you know. So even when I'm producing and doing some of my beats and things of that nature, you know, I try to throw just a little taste of that in there because it gives it a little bit of flavor. You know what I mean?
No, I definitely think that makes sense. And just somebody that's in the studio a lot, as I'm sure you do a lot of production, you're in the studio as well. When people have that type of ear for like different productions outside of the genre they just came up on, that makes their ear more better as a producer, as an engineer, in my opinion.
Absolutely. You know, a guy asked me what, you know, being that I was a lot older than some of the younger guys, what makes me different? And that was my answer. I hear different, you know. You know, when I hear samples and when I hear certain sounds or even in songs, man, I might just hear a piece of the song and I'll memorize it till I get home and go find it and cut it up and make something out of it. You know what I mean?
No, definitely, man. I definitely feel that. Now, my next question I want to ask you is COVID hit all of us. And I feel for artists and producers and radio hosts, it's different because for a producer, I feel like if you got to stay home all day and make beats, that's kind of super dope. But that might not be the reality for everybody, you know what I'm saying? What was it like for you being a producer and just a person in general dealing with COVID? What was it like for you?
Well, I'm also a business professional. So this time, you know, fortunately for me, COVID helped me, man, because it gave me more time in my studio.
Okay.
So because I wasn't working and traveling as much. So it benefited me, man. I'm in my studio every day from, you know, as long as many hours as I can get in. But it's helped me with my production. It helped me sharpen my skills. It helped me come up with ideas for the future. So it worked on my behalf as far as, you know, music is concerned. Of course, it's not something to brag about otherwise, but you always have to make the best out of what you got, bro. So that's what I've been trying to do.
No, that definitely makes sense. And I think as a producer, I mean, that kind of is the mind frame in general, because different producers use different gear or different plugins for certain things, so they get good with what they got. Now, speaking of that, what is your favorite production DAW?
I use Serato, man. I love Serato.
Okay.
And the reason is I come from the DJ era, and, you know, Pioneer and Serato are partners.
Okay.
So when I use my DAW, I can incorporate my DAW with my mixing gear, and I can do it all from one controller. So it makes it great for me.
No, that definitely makes sense, man. What makes me love your production so much is I'm always talking fast, or I have to do interviews, or I have to be with my kids. So me having a chill vibe in me, it takes certain things for me to get there. When I listen to your stuff, it makes me feel mellowed out, bro. Like, I feel it's a form of, like, therapy almost. And that's what I actually think music is, you know what I mean? Is that a type of reaction you get a lot on your music?
Bro, you said that, and when I released this last track, low Motion, that was what my instructions when I was posting it on Twitter and in IG, I just said, let's chill. You know what I mean? It's specifically meant to sit down and listen and just relax, you know? And I'm glad you said that. That made me feel good that at least I got one person, you know, the intentions were there. But with that particular track, that's definitely the purpose. You know, I get up and going, and I'm upbeat most of the time. So every now and then I'll go backwards and try to do a chill track, and that was one of them. And I'm proud of it. It's doing pretty good so far.
Now, I got to ask you a question. Hopefully you can catch my vibe, man. I just remember what it was like to be a producer. I used to be a producer back in the day.
Right.
I feel like being a producer is like being a painter or artist that paints, but it's different because y'all paint with sounds, right? Now, I want to see if you catch my vibe real quick on this. When you're out and about just living your regular life, whether at home or in the streets, you hear certain sounds, do you, like, think of sampling certain sounds you hear in real life for later?
All the time.
Okay.
Listen, I think I mentioned it before. Even when I'm out and I hear something, if it's in music, I'll Shazam it. Or, like, we just went out today and had lunch, and, you know, I was listening to, you know, a contractor on, you know, a piece of equipment, and I heard a specific sound, and I was like, that would be dope, you know. But, you know, I do it all the time. Matter of fact, sometimes, you know, I was telling my oldest daughter, I listen to music differently now. You listen to music for entertainment, man. I listen to music for ideas.
I think that says a lot of your character to be able to say that.
Yeah.
Issue I have with all cultures, I feel like culture changes so fast, right? I'm so glad we have this conversation because I wanted to say this on my next show. People were influenced by the media. That's just what it is.
Right.
We take certain things and we change it, you know what I'm saying? Or we make it better so things evolve. So I come from an era where people always be like, oh, no, man, I figured out my own. I'm like, no, bro, you heard that from the 60s. And somebody else did that two more times before you heard it, bro. You know what I'm saying? like I talk about, especially from my era, and it's even worse for the younger era. So to hear you be like, yeah, man, I listen to music to get some ideas. I'm glad to hear you say, because some people, they act so arrogant as if that's so dumb to do, or as if they don't be doing. I be telling the show, like, come on, bro, stop lying to me, man. You know you be listening to other people, you know what's going on. So I appreciate you being honest about that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Quincy Jones said it himself, bro, there's only so many keys to learn.
For sure.
So you know, even if you got the ones that say that, bro, there's only so much you can do and create on your own without having ideas from somewhere else.
That's definitely true. Now, you also have a marketing career. Now, you're a producer. Producers are very talented, but sometimes the marketing is not there. So how has your marketing career outside of being a producer helped your producer career?
Well, that was one of the things that's one of my goals is I was so busy making music. One of the integral parts of music business right now is marketing. I mean, an independent cannot survive without getting his music and his name out there. And it's really easy as a creator of music to stay in the studio and just make music all the time. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're wondering who's listening to my music. So
right.
I'm making a real concentrated effort to try to work on more on the marketing and getting my message and my music out. And it's starting to do better. That's why I appreciate you, man, and having me on the show and digging my music enough to even have me, because that's important. And I'm definitely looking for the right platforms to try to come out, because I want to be a creator, but I want to work. I want to work with some dope artists, man. That's my goal, is to get me some dope artists, man, and just create some stuff. But I'm never going to find them if I don't get the name and the image out there.
No, that definitely makes sense. Now, this question might catch you a little bit off guard, but I definitely want to know, man, when was the last time you heard a production or even a song in general that touched you so much, whether by the production or instruments, by the words, that it damn near brought either tears to your eyes or made you tingle?
I heard Ariana Grande sing, and I forgot the song, but it happens to me quite a bit, because I'm a really, as you can hear in my music, I try to do that. I try to touch you with it.
Okay.
So, but I think probably the last one was probably, and I forgot the song she was singing, but it wasn't a love song. It was a emotional, motivational type song. But artists that have that kind of talent always touch me, bro. That's what, when you said, when you recognize your ears, hear something that most people don't.
Yeah.
I was listening to Angela Bofield. I don't even know if you know who that artist is, but she was back in the 80s, and she was an incredible vocalist. And I was listening to some of her stuff the other day, and I'm basically sitting in my chair going, wow, man, where's that kind of talent right now? You know what I mean? It's just when you have trained your ears to hear certain things and look for certain things, and then you hear an artist really let that go, it's amazing, bro. It's really amazing. It really is.
No, that definitely makes sense, man. And Angela Bofa, I mean, she was that whole era I was just talking to you about. I feel like she was heavy in that 80s era.
She was. She was.
So I mean, I feel like right now, this is why I love interviews like this, because putting the younger crowd and other people that might not be hip onto this now, let's talk about this joint Low Motion, man. And I need stuff to calm my anxiety down. Let's just be honest. I'm just being honest with y'all. This joint right here, it does it for me, bro. I kind of want to know, you know, what does it feel like when you get done with something like this? How do you know you're done?
Man, let me tell you something, and this is what I struggle with, and I'm sure producers will say this a lot, even the well-knowns and the most notable ones. You never know when the song is done. You have to make it be finished. And what I mean by that is I always feel like there's something else I can add or create to make it better. That song came out just because I was doing what you're doing. I wanted to force myself to calm down, relax, because I was doing, you know, I've got a beat store and I was doing a lot of beats, and I was, you know, in that mode for a couple of weeks, man. All I was doing was hitting 808s and, you know, banging them out. And I was like, okay, Jay, let's do something. Let's go back to where your roots are. And Low Motion just came, as you can tell, man, from the needle, from the static. You know, I went back to my roots, man, and listening to the vinyl on the stereo in the living room, you know, and I just started from there, and I wanted to stay there, and I did. I was able to stay there with it. So, but it was an inspirational song, because it was something that I felt like I wanted to do to kind of change, you know, what I was doing, you know, up until that point, which was a lot of beats and things of that nature. So Low Motion was therapy for me as well. So I really appreciate you saying that, man, because that definitely was the intention. It definitely was a chill movement.
Hey, man, I definitely appreciate you, man. I feel like that's what we need nowadays. I feel like music in general is used for so much. I don't even want to go into the stuff I be seeing on music. It's just used for, it's so opposite of what it originally came out for. It's like housing projects. Housing projects were made to be nice and give people a better lifestyle for cheaper, but it turned into this whole messed up thing. And I feel like with music, it's used to promote violence and, I mean, on the most extreme level. So hearing something like this, for me, I'm Mr. Music, man. I love all types of music.
Right.
This takes it back to the point of what music is for.
My goal is I want to work with some artists can do exactly what you said. And I think that's the benefit of me and being my age and from my era, bro. I I can only do beats, and don't get me wrong, I came up in the hip hop era. I love hip hop. I was there when it started, and I'm still here with it. So, you know, I have nothing against it. But some of the, like you said, some of the dialogue, some of the things that are said, some of the stuff that's mentioned, I can only take so much of it, and I have to change a little bit. And that's what being great about a producer is. I don't have to deal directly with the lyrics and the dialogue. I just give an artist a beat. If he likes it, I give him, maybe a hook. And, you know, bro, you do what you need to do, or sister, you do what you need to do. But it feels really good when somebody takes your creation and then makes it better with their creation. You know what I mean?
That's definitely dope. And I feel like, again, a lot of people don't like giving props to when people do that. I feel like the bigger artists do, but at the indie level, I feel like people don't like giving that type of props. So much respect to you, man.
Right.
Now before we keep it going, man, here it is right here, y'all. Everybody's listening. Low Motion for my man Vernon J of Ascent Productions right here, MNTC iHeartRadio. Let's go, y'all. We're back, man. So Vernon, man, being a producer and putting all this work in and time in, how does it feel to be in a platform to where your productions are being played on iHeartRadio next to celebrity content? How does that feel, man?
Man, let me tell you something. I was excited when I did my first EP, Don't Talk, Just Listen. I don't know if you checked it out.
Yep.
But if you hadn't, I want you to check it out because it's on the lines of where Low Motion is, but it's a little bit more funky, a little bit more groovy. But I was just glad to see my own creation on Spotify, you know. So being here with you and knowing who iHeart is and knowing who you are, man, I'm speechless. I mean, this is great for me. I mean, I was just a little kid who watched Soul Train every Saturday. You know what I mean? you know, and loving music as much as I did and much as I do now, it's always a pleasure, man, when you have touched somebody with your creation. And I think that's what, you know, what motivates every artist in any, whatever they're creating, but in music especially. If somebody can feel what you're trying to put out there, it's great. So to be here with you and knowing where we're headed at and seeing what I've created, and it makes a difference even just to you. I'm grateful, man, and I'm humbled by it. That makes me want to work harder and get more out.
No, it's definitely dope, man. I feel like you're a real artist. Like, when I say artist, like a painter, you know what I'm saying? Like when I hear your stuff, it creates these vibes with me. Just like a picture will create a vibe when I see it, you know what I'm saying? Now, son, right. you said something about Soul Train, and I know you're from a different era. So do you remember a show called Mr. Soul?
Mr. Soul. I don't buy the name, but I'll guarantee if it came on in my area, I watched it if it was music.
Yeah, Mr. Soul was a variety show, man. And I actually interviewed the director of this. She released a movie about it called Mr. Soul. And it's actually it was Soul Train before Soul Train, Oprah before Oprah, man. You should go check it out on HBO Max. You said Soul Train, it kind of just it rekindled that interview I did the other day with her. And she was talking about just like, you know, how many people don't know about it. You'll probably like it, bro. It's called Mr. Soul.
I'm definitely going to check it out. Oh, yeah. I'm a student of the music game, man. When the rendition for Soul Train, Don Cornelius was out, man, I watched every episode of that show, because that was an important key instrument for me in seeing and learning the artist that I never got to see, you know, on television or anywhere else in that era, man. Soul Train was it for me.
Man, that joint was lit, man, for sure. Now, before we get out of here, Vernon, how can we follow you, Ascend Productions, and see what you got going on, man?
Okay, so I'm on all platforms right now, and I'm grateful for that. You follow me on Twitter at AscendVJ, as in Victor James, and my IG is Ascend Productions VJ. Facebook is Ascend Productions. I'm on all of them, man. I'm trying to make the old man get a little bit more involved in social media. So that's what I've been working on. So I'm proud of that. And then I have a website. It's called AscendProductionsVJ.com with all my music, all my latest information, and what's going on with us. And so that website is also incorporated to BeatStars.com, which is where all my beats are actually registered. So I'm all over the place, man. I'm trying to do it. I'm looking for the next great.
Hey, Vernon, man, I definitely got to appreciate your time, Vernon Jay. I mean, the way you held up in this interview was very good. And just, I like people that make me feel good through the music, for real, because that's what I really appreciate, man. So I don't only appreciate your time, I appreciate your artistry and the dedication you put into it. They say, you know, it takes 10,000 hours to master your craft. Clearly, you done put in over 10,000.